Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Johnson from Bethel AG Church. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We are so glad we could connect with you through this podcast. Please ensure you subscribe to receive new messages every week. We pray this podcast builds your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and motivates you to live a life of excellence for the glory of our Lord. Thank you for your support. Enjoy the message. We've been studying from God's Word on the principles of God's Word. And one of the fundamental, foundational principle of God's Word is the culture of thanksgiving. God says to have a thankful heart is so important. And sometimes that becomes so difficult. It becomes easy to have a heart with different passions, but to have a heart of thanksgiving can sometimes become very difficult. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves to be thankful. I have felt that personally, that I often slip into a thankless attitude and sometimes into an irritated, murmuring attitude. And to be thankful becomes probably the shortest attitude or the smallest attitude of the day. And so God reminds us in His Word to be people who are thankful to God Almighty. One of the things I found in the Bible is when you're thankful to God about something, it gets sanctified through prayer. Prayers of thanksgiving sanctifies. There is a power of cleansing in thanksgiving. Well, we're talking about thanking God. When you're thanking God for something in your life, it gets cleansed, it gets sanctified, it gets purified. And therefore, we must have this attitude of being thankful to God for whatever God provides in our life. Because when you're thankful to God for something, it gets cleansed by the power of God. It gets purified. People are scared. Some people are scared of a day. Some are scared of entering a new house. They are afraid. Some neighbor has said that in that house, somebody once died long ago. Somebody hanged themselves. That spirit is still haunting them. You know, you purchased a vehicle and now somebody is saying the previous owner of that vehicle met with many accidents. That's why they sold it off. Oh, now what do I do with this vehicle? Well, when you're thankful to God for what you have, there is a cleansing that happens on it. There is a sanctification that happens on it. Hallelujah. Let's read together the book of Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. For everything God created is good, and nothing should be rejected if it is received with because it is sanctified by the word of God. And you know, this portion is talking about in the church, some people come saying, don't get married. You should not get married. Your marriage will not work out. Don't eat that food. That food is not good for you. Don't drink water at such and such a time. You should not stay awake at some time. You should not sleep at some other time. Don't conduct marriage on that day. Oh, that is a shapa kala. All these kind of things. So the word of God is saying every day when you thank God for it, it gets sanctified by the power of God. As you step into a house, as you step into a house, or for your work life, when you thank God for your job, it gets sanctified. For your marriage, when you say, Lord, thank you for my spouse, thank you for my family, they get sanctified. Hallelujah. When you take food in your hand before you eat it, say a word of thanks to God. It is sanctified through prayer. Yes, that's what God's word is saying. Don't reject it out of fear. Prayerfully, it gets sanctified. All curses go out. All evil go out. All kinds of dirt of the enemy goes out when you're thankful for something to God. This is so powerful. You know, when you thank God for something, it is an express way of telling God. It is a very powerful way of telling God, God, I respect what you've given in my life. I value what you've given in my life. When you're thankful to God for something repeatedly, you're telling God repeatedly, I value this. I respect this. I treat it as worthy. I treat it as important. When you're thankless about something, you're taking it for granted. You're saying, it doesn't make a difference in my life. That's why We should be thankful to God for our health. We should be thankful to God for the things that you may have in your life. Even the small things. Have a thankful attitude towards God Almighty. Now that's something that I found in the Bible. That when you are thankful to God in your prayer, it gets sanctified and it gets blessed. Let's say that together. It gets sanctified and it gets blessed. Right, it begins to increase. The more you're thankful about something, the more it begins to increase in your life. When this church was very small, I remember the days when there were 5 people, 10 people, 25 people, 40 people. You know, at that time I got a call from Edmonton, Canada, saying, can you come and be a pastor of this church? You will have a better future. Somebody even quipped that you will get a good girl over there. So I remember, the funny thing is I didn't even feel tempted, you know. I didn't even feel a temptation because somehow I was so thankful to God for what God had already given me in Bangalore. I never felt that I should look down on it. And today when I turn around, there are people from Edmonton. Incidentally, a few years ago, the man who wanted to take me to Edmonton came to Bangalore, stayed here, attended church, and I was sitting on a chair there. You know, those days I would sit on a chair there and meet everyone after service. He came to me, gave me his card and said, do you remember me? I said, well, I think I do, but I can't remember exactly. So he understood what I was saying. And he said, okay, I'm the guy who wanted to take you to Edmonton. And he says, thank God you didn't come. Thank God you're here. You're such a blessing to people here. Well, I'll cut this story short there. Well, the truth is this. When you value what God has given you and you're thankful to God for what you have, you never miss anything in life. God begins to increase what you have. God begins to enlarge what you have. God begins to prosper what you have. What you have becomes so beautiful and good. And that's really what happened in my life. A lot of times, you know, people would share in our pastors' conferences, which I don't attend much now, but those days I would attend every other conference. I would have elderly pastors saying, you know, the other day a KAS officer came for counseling. The other day such and such a policeman's relative came for prayer. And I would think to myself, you know, to me, only some students from some colleges would come for prayer. And I would wonder, man, when are the days when someone, you know, so-called important in society would come? But even in those days, somewhere God gave me the grace to value the people that came to me, to pray for the people who came to me, to respect and would say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for those 5 people that came this week for prayer. I believe, God, you're changing their life. You know what I have seen? I've seen God increase situations. I've seen God doing unusual favors. I remember one time I was conducting a marriage from our church. In our church, I think that was the second or third marriage, 25 years ago, maybe more. So I was so excited. I was arranging for that family. I was, you know, physically going and making sure things are fine. That time I didn't have the license from the government to conduct marriages. You know, they give you this marriage registrar kind of thing. So I didn't have it at that time. I got it later. So those days I would invite somebody to come and register the marriage. And so I had invited this pastor and he saw my excitement and he said, so you don't have much marriages in church, do you? I said, no, I mean, in our church, I rarely get a chance to do a marriage, but I'm so happy. And he looked at me and said, don't you feel it's a burden? I said, no, I'm so thankful for the opportunity. He said, oh, at one point it'll become a burden. I said, well, I hope it doesn't. And I was so happy helping this family out, you know, trying to do things for the couple, just trying to figure out what both the families wanted. Well, I began to do that for as long as I had the time. I began to do it for every other family. Marriages began to increase in our church. At one point, I said, no more announcing marriage in the church. Otherwise, we used to announce, so-and-so is getting married to so-and-so. Everybody, please come. This is first band, second band, third band. You know, I got fed up because 10 minutes we go only for announcement. You know, so many. Then I said, no more announcements in church. Those who are getting married, you get married. That's all. We can't announce in church. Then another problem in our church, so many young people, no, they keep getting married all over the place and I have to go everywhere and conduct the marriage. It came to a point where I just could not do it because people started getting married in UK, America, Dubai. I have to go all. One day you come, pastor, we'll give you special, business class ticket. You just come, bless and go. Yeah, ma, but problem is, where is the time? I'll be roaming around, like another satellite or moon or whatever. I finally had to decide I will not go more than 30 kilometers outside the radius of Hebbal. Well, today when I look around, I had to make such rules to manage my time. But how did it all start? And I, even today, when there is a wedding that day, every week there are weddings in the church. And I keep telling God, Father, thank you for the opportunity. Today, as I conduct the marriage, I want to thank you, Lord, that you gave me a chance to be a blessing in this couple's life. When you are thankful to God for whatever you get to do, God increases that under your care. God increases his favor. I want to... Brothers, if you have a chance to cook in your house, be thankful. I know there won't be amens. It's all right. I like to start with the tough ones. Ladies, when you have to cook in the house, be thankful. Don't grumble saying, I know you don't like, still you eat, it's okay. No, be thankful for the opportunity. Irrespective of how they treat you, you be thankful to God for the opportunity, and God will increase his favor under your care. And God has a way of prosper. Oh, go ahead. Give God a big hand. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving increases whatever you touch. Thanksgiving cleanses whatever you touch. Thanksgiving has a way of sanctifying. That's why when people build houses, they have housewarming. Because irrespective of which laborers built it, no matter what curse someone may have spoken, whatever negativity on the land, when people come together and give a thanksgiving prayer to God, it is cleansed by the power of God. I tell you, my friend, when you have a heart of thanksgiving, there is a blessing that comes upon it. When you have a heart of thanksgiving, there is a sanctification, cleansing that happens on it. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story that happened in my life. It's a true story, happened about 25 years ago. I've said this story in so many housewarmings. The other day, I told my children, there is a housewarming of one of your friends. Are you coming? And one of my boys say, are you going to share that story again? It's so boring. We heard it so many times. That's true. When they were kids, we would wrap them, pack them, take them to every housewarming with us. They know the first 5 minutes is this story. So they'll be looking down, looking here, looking there. But many of you have not heard it, so I'll tell you. About 25 years ago, we were a small church with less than 100 people. I knew everybody in church. I mean, I knew not only the people in church, I knew their pets in the house. Right? When you're a small church, you know everything about everybody because you have the time to visit them, pray with them. Those were good days. These are also good days, but those days were different. And so two young ladies came to me and they said, Pastor, we want you to come and do our housewarming. We got a new house. Can you bless it? I looked at these two young ladies and said, who are you? Do I know you? And they said, you don't know us? We are from your church. I knew they were lying. But then, I didn't want to embarrass them. And I said, oh, sure, I'm sorry. I missed it. Your name was. And, just took it on lightly. And I fixed the time with them. Sultan Palya, near Honeyland Bakery, a flat in an apartment. Said, done. Fix the time. Fix the day. When I went there, these two ladies, their sisters, and their mother is there. And she's carrying one bag, plastic bag. I can see flask in it. I can see some juice in it. I can see some cups, some marigold biscuits, some cookies. I remember she's carrying in her hand. And in our church, even those days, we have people from different cultures. So I don't have a set pattern. I ask people, how do you want to do it? So do you want to cut the ribbon? Do you want to open a plaque? Do you want to... open the door. Different people do it differently. So how do you want? So these two ladies, they gave me the key and said, the door is locked, as you can see. Pray, open the door, put your right foot in and get inside. I said, okay. I took the key. Now this is a flat, so it's kind of narrow. I pray, I put the key in the keyhole. These two ladies, they squeeze themselves on the two sides of mine. There's hardly any space. They're standing in between while I was praying.
They're standing in between me and the door, and they're staring at my face. Now, when you're not married, that's a pleasant experience, but but during prayer, that was obnoxious. During prayer, that was really uncalled for. It was inappropriate. I mean, you want to check me out, do it later. These two were staring at me. So I prayed, I put the key in the keyhole, turned the key, door opened. They asked me to put my right foot in. I mean, obviously, both have to go in eventually. So I got inside, and the mother says, "Do you want to drink something hot?" She's taking the flask out. Another girl is taking the juice with the plastic cup. "What do you want to drink? Are you sweating? Are you tired? You want to sit down? Shall we put on the fan for you? Do you want low speed, high speed?" In about 3 minutes, they asked me 25 questions. I knew something was wrong. I looked at them and I said, "Excuse me, who are you? I'm sure I don't know you. Something's wrong. What is it?" Then they said, "Actually, we are not from your church." I said, "Uh-huh." "Actually," then they told me the story, "we are not Christians. We stay near your house in Ganganagar. Actually, these two girls, my daughters, they took all the loans, worked very hard, and purchased this flat. Their father and me told them, let's come into the new house, let's call our priest and do the puja, do the prayer. These two girls, they were fighting. No, we will not call any pujari. We will not call any priest because we are poor. All our cousins, all our colleagues are married. Who will marry us? Nobody, because we've got this house loan which will take another 15 years to complete. If God is there and if God is a good God, why is it only we are in this condition in our family? None of our family members respect us because we don't have money. We hate God. We don't like God." She said, "My two girls forced my husband and me, no prayer, no religion, just come, let's enter the house." She said, "My husband and me and my daughters got into an auto, came to this place. My husband took the key. As he put it in the keyhole, he felt a chest pain. He sat down. Quickly, my girls pulled out the key, took my husband to the hospital on the same auto rickshaw, and the doctor said, 'Sorry, you bought a dead body.' Straight away, we took to the crematorium with the government and finished the last rites of my husband. And we are scared to enter here. 3 months, we are living in Ganganagar, near your house, near your church in Ganganagar. We are scared to enter. Last week, I told my daughters how long we will pay rent for this house, EMI for the new house. We are becoming more poor. How long we will survive like this? Let's enter the house. My girls are scared. They are saying there is some shapa, there is some curse. So call the priest." I can't call my priest, because if they come and understand there is a curse here, then my daughters will never have a good future. No one will visit our house. That is when I told my daughters, "You started a new church here to call you." Then I understood. Hallelujah. That day I told the Lord, "Father," now you all know why I'm so prayerful. You never know what you're turning and what you're opening, you know. That day I told God, "Thank you, Lord, that at the name of Jesus, every curse is broken. Every bondage is broken. Oh, your miracle is a thanksgiving away. Your miracle is a thanksgiving away." Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. 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 You walk with a heart of thanksgiving, there is a cleansing that happens there. There's a sanctification that happens there. Become more thankful for your education. Be more thankful for what you're studying. You see how it becomes a blessing in your life. Be thankful to God. That's so important. Be thankful to God for the little that you have, and God has a way of cleansing it, sanctifying it into much abundance. Amen. But there is a story in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, taught us about how thanksgiving can get rejected. Thanksgiving can sometimes get rejected by God. Let's read that. Luke, the Bible says in chapter 18, verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God. Or this publican. You see, what happened here is, when the chapter begins, the Lord Jesus tells us one thing, that he shared this example as an evidence, as a proof that God rejects the prayers and thanksgiving of those who don't trust in God and only trust in themselves. Why did God reject this fellow's thanksgiving? The Bible says this fellow primarily did not believe in God. He was thankful, but not to God. He was thankful and boastful to himself. Let's read that verse one more time. I'll show you something interesting. Let's read that again. This Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Hold on there. He's saying God, but he's not talking to God. He's talking to himself. You know, in the Bible, you have to be very careful about every word, because every word is written so correctly, and only if you understand it correctly, you begin to see the revelation there. God is saying, you took my name, but you're not talking to me. You're talking to yourself. He comes and stands in the temple. Temple is a place where you come to see God. But this fellow has come to the temple so others will see him. When we come to the temple of God, we come to honor him who is worthy of honor. This fellow has come to the temple to honor himself by making a loud prayer so others can hear that I am not a murderer. Oh, thank you, God. I am not evil. I am not bad like that other publican there. I am not doing anything wrong. I am giving money. I am doing that for you. He came to worship himself. But he's using the word thanks. He's using the word God. Any thanksgiving that you have to yourself does not include God in it. Cannot have the blessings of God. It gets rejected from God. Our thanksgiving should be connected to God. It should be built out of faith that God, you are there. Whenever I do something right, I know you are there to bless it. This fellow's attitude was, I am right. I don't need you, God. That was his attitude. And he used the word God. He was expressing the words of thankfulness. But deep in his heart, he was just expressing his pride and boastfulness through the language of religion. Whenever you come to church to show somebody else, trust me, God did not see it, only that somebody else saw it. Have we become so Christian that we've forgotten Christ and are only concerned about Christians seeing us? Let's be careful to honor God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to church. Why? To worship God. Superb. God is watching you. And he will reward you. And he will respond to your prayer. No, I'm going to church and I'm going to get baptized. Why? So she will see me. These are all stories I hear during the week. I actually came to this church so she will marry me. Now what happened? She married someone, but I will not leave Jesus. Because finally I met God. God is so merciful that even when people come for the wrong reason, God turns that around in a beautiful way. Hallelujah. Our God is such a merciful and good God. Hallelujah. But the converse of it is dangerous. Sometimes some people, they start coming to church because they love God. But then they get caught up in the, network and systems. definitely not much in this church, because in this church we don't have that kind of a system where people can get into something like that, because we kind of avoid those kind of frameworks where flesh can get involved. But the truth is, if we are not careful on why we are in God's presence, we can miss out on getting his touch. That's what happened to this Pharisee. He came to the temple. He was more concerned about his stand and his presence than the presence of God before whom he stood. The Bible says he went home rejected of God. There is something called, you know, a negative pride. And there's something called positive pride. Oh, pastor, I got first class. I got distinction. I'm a rank holder. I'm a gold medalist. Praise God. Pastor, I'm proud. Superb. That's good pride. I'm proud my husband got a promotion. That's good pride. I'm proud, pastor. My wife succeeded. Good pride. That's nice. When does a pride become bad? Why does the Bible say God resists the proud? Why is it that some thankfulness is rejected by God because of bad pride? A pride becomes a problem when you use what you have to look down on others. God has taught us to use what we have to serve others. Oh, I'm a PhD, I'm a that, I'm a this. Instead of just filling the gossip circuit with your abundance, when you use that great education of yours to help somebody who's trying to get an education, hey, that's the pride God will bless. But when you use your pride to compare yourself against others and look down on others, that's a pride God will resist. God says, I hate it. Now, some people say, I'll only drive a small car. I will not wear expensive clothes. I will wear only torn clothes. These days, it's very less in the city, but maybe 30, 40 years ago, it was so common. Pastors would never wear a suit. They will only wear a jubba. I don't know if you all understand what I'm saying. They wear a jubba. They cannot wear expensive shoes. They have to wear torn socks. They have to be very humble to express humility. If torn clothes is humility, then the most humble people are begging in Kearpuram and in Care Market. Poverty is not equivalent to humility. Some of the most proud fellows are poor people. Attitude doesn't come based on your economic background. Attitude comes based on your belief system. I have seen proud beggars. True story. In Care Market, me and my friend, we were walking. My friend, those days, he gave one 10 paisa coin. That beggar threw it. He literally threw it. And he scolded my friend. My friend ran and took it, put it in the pocket and said, that's the difference between me and you. You'll always remain like that. He got angry. I told him, come down. Because now I knew he had another 10 paisa in the pocket. Those days, 10 paisa, you'll get one ice cream. Good old days. Not that the ice cream was worth anything, but anyway. Pride, rebellion. It need not be because you are showing that you have nothing. That's not humility. If I have a big car, is it a sign of pride? No. Big car is not a sign of pride. If big house and big car are a sign of pride, how can God, who is humble, live in heaven? Heaven is the biggest. Our God is a humble God. But he lives in glory. So if you have a big house, it's not like you are not humble. If you have a big vehicle, it's not like you are not humble. So how do you distinguish whether you have a small vehicle or big vehicle? How you handle that is the proof whether you are humble or you are proud. A proud fellow will drive it trying to show others, I'm better than you. Okay, this is steering. Some are looking at my hand, what's going on? Okay. But a humble fellow will take that big Mercedes-Benz Q7 or BMW and pick up full neighborhood and come to church. That is humble. I can see some BMW fellows are not clapping because you came alone. But point is, use what God has given you with a thankful heart to serve others. That is good pride. Jesus Christ, our Lord, never came and said, "Don't tell anyone I'm Son of God. We'll hide that." No. He said, "I am the Son of God. I am God who became human. I am before Abraham was, I was." And he took the water and washed the feet of his disciples. That's humility. Taking all what you have and using it in the will of God is genuine humility. I mean, some people make prayers like, "Lord, I don't want to be rich so I can be humble. If I become rich, God, I'm afraid I'll become proud." All such people, bring all your money. Because your fears are not true. You can be the wealthiest person in the world and be the humblest. Abraham was wealthier than the king of his country, and yet he was so humble. You can be blessed. As you have a thankful heart, you can walk in the abundance of God's favor. Be thankful. Am I helping anybody here? This is so very important. Hallelujah. There is a big difference between good pride and bad pride. Jesus Christ, our Lord, when he died that shameful death on the cross, he didn't say, "I'm the Son of God. It is shameful for me to die like this." No. He said, "I'll take that shame. Being the great that I am, I will use all my greatness to serve the people, so that when they put their faith in me, they will have eternal life." That is the symbol we follow. That is the Christ that we follow, who was not ashamed of who he was. And he was not ashamed of serving others to any level. Today, may the Lord bless the church as we carry a thankful heart. May God's children rise to the highest in the society, and from there, serve even the lowest in the society with wisdom and with grace and with the success. Go ahead, let it happen to you. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. Absolutely. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I went to a church many years ago. They had built that church in a beautiful way. And I went to that church because the pastor had invited me, he's elder to me, and he showed me a place in the church close to the place where he preached on the side of the stage. And he said, "This is a special gallery. Whenever VIPs come, I put them there. You know, we need to have a special place in the church for VIPs." And he was explaining to me about how it makes a difference. I think those were the days where I was learning, you know, and I was just figuring things out. And I remember even those days standing there and thinking, maybe that's how God has called this pastor. But in my life, I'm going to respect everybody. And I'm not going to make a distinction. I'm going to value people for who they are. And you know what? Today, that pastor and his son, they're wonderful people. They're genuine people. I mean, that's what they knew. They grew up in that kind of an atmosphere, so that's the only thing they know about church. Many times I have interacted with them, and they keep asking me questions about, you know, how do so many people, and especially they know some people who come to our church, and they ask me, "How do you get this kind of people to come to your church?" And I keep telling, I don't answer them in particular, but I keep telling myself, the game is very simple. The game is, be thankful for what God has given you. Respect everybody. Believe that God has a purpose in the ones that God is sending to you. If you're faithful in little, God will make you faithful over much. Be genuine in what you do. You know, I think the principle is the same. Value what God has given you. You don't try to hold the people back. You try to be thankful to God for the people. You do the principles of God's word. You don't have to play tricks. You walk in the principles of the scripture. And God has a way of honoring everything he promised in your life. He will make it happen. Hallelujah. All right. Before I pray and close, I want to share a story. Can I share a Bible story with you? This is one story that has impacted my life, changed me radically in my prayer life. This story is from this boy called Daniel. Let's read that scripture first, then we will look at that story. Daniel chapter 6 verse 10. Now when Daniel learned from the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room. That was a duplex house, where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. And? Okay, I'll tell you the story. Then you will know how significant the scripture is. It's one verse that has impacted my life a lot over the years, really. Daniel was a young royal child who grew up in Jerusalem, the citadel of religious civility in the Middle East, the hotspot, probably that one jugular vein of real estate in world history where more blood has been spilled in human history. In the name of God. He thought the beautiful life he has, the snows of Lebanon coming all the way to Jerusalem, the winds from the desert of the Negev, the climatic changes, the fertility, the success. He thought the temple of Solomon where God's glory would dwell. He thought he had it all. But Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar, 600 years before Jesus Christ, they entered into Jerusalem, burned the temple of God. Now I can imagine as Daniel, a small boy, his heart pulsating, anxious. God, can't you protect your house? How can you allow Babylonians? Later they became Persians. How can these people destroy your habitation? He saw it before him, his temple burning, the billows of smoke coming up from the ashes of what was once the temple of God. As if that was not enough, when he turned around, in a few hours he was an orphan. His parents were chopped to death. As if that's not enough, they chain him and drag him about 2,000 miles through the deserts of the Middle East, from the north of the Mediterranean, all the way down to the modern-day Iran, Iraq, Persian region. The Babylonians put him in the slave market. Now, if there is a guy who goes through trauma, this is an extreme trauma he went through. And he is put on sale. Bad. Now the king passes an edict. Nebuchadnezzar says, I want the finest people to serve me. So they run this test, and the slave Daniel also got in through the minority quota. And they found he's smart. And they picked him up for the training. Now he's in the palace. He can't celebrate his festivals. He can't enjoy his friendships. He can't wear his clothes of his Jewish choice. He can't speak his language. He has to speak the Chaldean language of the Babylonian Empire. Terrible. But he decided, I'll be faithful to God. He kept his purity of faith and worship, food, lifestyle, and he was faithful to the government. Now, this is the, I've heard many people say, Pastor, how can I be faithful to God and in this company? How can I be faithful to God and in this college? I can't do both because both are such a contrast. Trust me, you didn't have the contrast Daniel had. He had to serve in the Babylonian Empire that not only destroyed the Jewish worship, but was against Jewish worship. And yet he had to serve God. Daniel could do it. You can do it. God will give you the grace and the wisdom on how to handle it. It is possible. And when he was faithful to God and to the Babylonian Empire, guess what? God began to raise him up. And he became the prime minister just next to the king and the queen. He became the third person in the kingdom. 120 governors, satraps, counselors, and all of their vestures were under him. He became above all of them. They decided, we have to pull this Daniel down. Now the Bible says, this fellow, As he's on the top and he's not corrupt, he's clean. This fellows decided, this 120 governors and satraps and Chaldeans and magicians, soothsayers, they all got together and said, we have to bring this fellow down. So they decided to bypass Daniel and went to the king with one unique request. They told the king, for the next 30 days, we have decided nobody should worship any other god except you, O king. You have to make this a law. Only you should be worshipped. People should pray only to you. The camera will only be on you. Everywhere it will be only your photo. Oh, the king was very happy. King said, I'll put my seal on it. King put the seal. In today's language, it became a gazette notification that for the next 30 days, only the king should be worshipped, nobody else. Now, Daniel, when he understood this, that the law has been passed, if you are found praying to any other god except the king, you will be thrown into the lion's den to be eaten. It's not like they will put you in lion's den with some sedatives and all that. Nothing. They'll throw you alive and lions will eat you up raw. These are not some baptized Holy Spirit filled lions. No, these are lions. Real lions. They will chew you up. When Daniel heard this, what do I do? Like that, huh? No, look what he did. Read. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home as usual and went up to the room where he used to pray. And he opened his windows, not towards the palace, but towards Jerusalem as usual. Knelt down 3 times and prayed and gave what? Thanks. Oh my goodness. How do you do this? When you just read the gazette notification that says, if you pray to any other god, you will be thrown in the lion's den. When you know that this entire job has been done by the undersecretaries working under you. When you know that you are going to be killed. How do you give thanks to God? At least give your burden to God. At least give your anger to God. Fellow gives thanks to God. Man. 3 things that he did. Number one, he kept his windows to Jerusalem open. You know what that means? Vision. Vision. His vision was, we will go back to Jerusalem. God will rebuild Jerusalem. He kept his vision. When problems come, stop staring at the problem. Stop thinking about the lions. Stop worrying about, oh, tonight I'm going to be dead. No, keep your vision where God has promised you. Keep your eyes focused on the vision. I feel like preaching it. Hallelujah. Second, he knelt down before God. He said, God, I will not kneel down before the gazette notification. I will not kneel down before these politics begging for my life. If there is one place I kneel down, it will be before you, O God. Hallelujah. My friend, let me tell you this. If you kneel down before God, you will be able to stand before anybody else, no matter what. He knelt before God. Third, he did it 3 times a day, as usual. Daniel, earlier you did 3 times. Now notification came. At least make it 5 times. Not required. My walk with God, he will take care. I don't have to have panic attack. You remember last Sunday what we studied? Replace anxiety with thanksgiving. Today we are looking at thanksgiving with faith. He trusted God. He gave thanks. Then what happened? They put him in lion's den. Now this is the problem. Many times when I'm saying these stories, when we are obeying God, our belief is when we pray, God will protect me from the problem. Sometimes God will not stop the problem, but God will take you through the problem. Don't give up. Don't feel offended. Don't feel ashamed. Don't feel afraid. Hallelujah. Our God will bring us through. No miracle happened. He was thrown in the lion's den. What were the common feelings Daniel could have had? Daniel could have felt confusion and hopelessness about God's silence. Even when Jerusalem temple was burning, God was silent. Now I'm going to be thrown in lion's den. Why is God silent? He could have been hopeless, confused. He could have had fear and anxiety. Instead of thinking about God's promise of Jerusalem, his mind could have been filled with, oh my God, which lion will jump on me? Will it first pull my hand or my leg? Which part of my body will come out? You know, people of faith can imagine. Our imagination can create better movies than what Hollywood can put on the screen. But he decided, no. He didn't allow fear and anxiety in his mind. He could have been filled with hurt against God, anger and hatred against Babylon and God. Against Babylon, I served you, and still you're doing this to me. God, I was faithful to you after all this, and you're doing this to me. But he didn't allow all that. He filled his mind with thanksgiving and surrender. He said, God, I thank you, and I surrender to you. I don't know what you're thinking for me, but I believe your thoughts are good thoughts. If I have to fall in the lion's den and die, so be it. But I trust that you are a good God. Why was his faith so good? Because he understood three things. Number one, he had eternity in his mind. He knew one thing. Many things you will not understand on the earth, we'll understand only when we reach heaven. So it's okay. Second thing, even though this kingdom is powerful to throw me in the lion's den, my God is still almighty. Hallelujah. My God is still almighty. Number one, eternity. Number two, God is almighty. And third, my vision will never change. Actually, for Daniel, no, Babylon was better than Jerusalem. Why? Because in Jerusalem, you will be an average, ordinary prince or boy. But in Babylon, you have become the prime minister. Why you want to open the window to Jerusalem? Yeah, you got a better life here. No, no. My location is not more important than God's plan for my future. Where God has for me is better for me. Hallelujah. We must learn to have the faith that Scripture teaches us. So two miracles happen. Miracle number one, that night God commanded his angel, go to the lion's den, handle them. Angels came and none of the lions could open their mouth. Probably they could open their mouth, but none of them could eat this fellow. They came, sniffed around him and walked away. Couldn't touch him. That's miracle number one. In the lion's den, but lion can't do anything. Some of you are in that condition. In the lion's den, but you are still there. But you are screaming and shouting, in Jesus' name. Devil, I rebuke you. Lions are thinking, why are you going mad? We can't do anything to you. When the devil sees some people's fear, devil is wondering, how come they are more afraid of me than I am of them? Don't you forget, he that in you is greater and more powerful and more mighty. Be thankful. Amen. And the Bible says, second miracle. First miracle, no animal touched him. Second miracle, next day early morning, king comes running. The Bible says he came in a haste and said, Daniel, O servant of the Most High God, how are you doing? And Daniel answered, O king, live forever. God sent his angels and protected me. King ideally should have said, be there for 1 week. You didn't worship me, no. Full kingdom worship me. You are the only one who insulted me. Stay there. This is the second miracle. God touched the heart of the king. And the king says, Daniel, please come out. And pulled him out immediately. I tell you, when God's favor is on you and you walk with a thankful heart, even your enemies will turn around and begin to bless you. Oh, go ahead. Give the Lord a big hand. Somebody shout a hallelujah to Jesus. Close your eyes and say, Father, I want to be a thankful person. No matter what I go through, even if there is a delay in the miracle, I want to be thankful to you. Even if I don't see my expectation, I still want to be thankful. I want to be thankful to you when I go through pain because I believe you can turn it around for good. I thank you because you can change my bad habits to good. I thank you
for the good habits you've given me, you're able to bring fruitfulness out of it. I trust you today, Father. I humble myself before you. Hallelujah. Like the Lord Jesus, my Master, may I also have a humble spirit. Thank you for every good thing you've given me. May I never use it to feel superior above others. May I always use it to serve others. To serve in wisdom, to serve in love. I thank you, Lord, for today. You are listening to our prayer. Thank you for your honor. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you that all of us have so much to learn, so much to grow, so much to seek you in. When we give you our time, when we give you our talents, when we give you the treasures you've put in our life, help us to constantly remind ourselves it is of the Lord's compassion and goodness that we're going strong. We love you today, Master. We thank you, Lord. Thank you that no curse can control, no evil can stay above a heart that is constantly thankful to you in worship, a heart that is thankful to you in faith. To thank you, Lord, to thank you. Instead of a heart of pride, which is bad, may we have a heart which is full of thanks. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit at work in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and the people said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to today's message. I believe that you are blessed. Please connect with us for prayer or counseling. Please do call us or visit our website or visit us. The details are given in the description. We'll be glad to serve you. Do subscribe so you can receive the latest podcast to encourage you in your journey in Christ. Please do share it with your friends too by clicking the share button. We are praying for you. God has great plans for your life. Thanks again for participating, listening. God bless you.